B-Pod Studios.
Zolak and Bertrand are live on Radio Row at the Georgia World Congress Center. Presented by DCU, Digital Federal Credit Union, on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
It's hour number two of Zolak and Bertrand from Radio Row on this Monday. This hour of Zolak and Bertrand brought to you by Spiegel Scrap Metal. And we have a guest in our Big Y world-class market guest chair. It's former offensive coordinator of the New England Patriots, the guy who was the offensive coordinator in the first of Tom Brady's two careers. Charlie Weiss is with us.
It's been one extended career, right? the way I look at it.
you've done quite well post Brady.
I'll tell you what. I think about Tommy. I think about when I first started with the Patriots. Orthwine owned the team, so I'm going back a few years here now. But it's really fun to be here this week, and I'm going to get out of here before the game so I can sit home and watch it on the couch because I really have a tough time watching games that I'm not a participant in.
Yeah.
You know, it's yeah. I really don't even enjoy them. So I can yell at the TV and not have anyone around me hear anything I'm saying.
I was going to say, because you're second guessing things that you're seeing and things you might do differently if you were on the sideline?
Well, I mean, there are things that happen in a game I'll say, "Why did you do that?" You know, That's happened more than once, but it's easy to do that when you're sitting on the couch. You know, it's totally different when it's happening at the time. And people don't realize, like, the art of, for example, the art of play calling. I mean, it's an art. It's not just some people have it and some people don't have it. And part of being able to call plays is when you call the first play, already in your mind have gone through the alternatives of what could happen in a play and know what your options are for the next play. Once you've gotten off the script and you're calling plays as they occur, so if I call a play action pass on first and 10, what's going to happen? Okay, it's either going to be first and 10 again or else it'd probably be second and 10. Okay, and if it's second and 10, you have one call. If it's first and 10, you have a different call. So it's the way it goes.
You look at this team now and you see what's changed since post-Pittsburgh, where the running game has started to come on. Line has stayed together. You go back to the early years with you here, too, and I know it had to change from year to year with Smith, and then you eventually had Dylan, and Dylan's a different type of back. I don't want to say do you see similarities of it, but does things become easier for Tommy when you watch it? And you know you got a running game where it isn't going to have to chuck it, you know, 50 times at the age of 40.
Yeah, the only thing is if you had to chuck it to the outside receivers, then I might be a little concerned.
Yeah.
Because the passing game is inside out.
Bread and butter's inside.
You know, it's inside out. You know, so, you know, like, it doesn't really make a difference whether it's 13 or 15 or 84, you know, out there getting involved with the plays that are outside. Yeah. They'll have a chance to make some plays, but realistically, you know, it's 11, 87 in those running backs. That's how the whole offense runs.
And when they're able to muddy up the middle, are you surprised, like going back to when they were down 25 to Atlanta in that Super Bowl in Houston, that he was able to drive the ball and continue to just bang it away on the outside with a rookie and basically Chris Hogan, and that was it, with no Gronk?
Yeah, it wasn't. Well, nothing he does surprises me. You know, at this point, anyone who's surprised by Tommy having success is brain dead. You know, so
like the Max Kellerman's. They're waiting for the cliff. You know,
but Charlie Weiss is with us here on Radio Row. How similar is the offense now? Zoe and I have talked about this a bunch of times. You know, we say, how similar is this to what it was 15-plus years ago?
Well, you watched last couple of weeks. It's looked pretty similar, to be perfectly honest with you.
Yeah.
You sit there lining up in the eye, fullback in the backfield, going a little 12,
zero week.
21, 12, and 11. Yeah. You know, and that, you know, I'm watching these games saying that looks familiar. That looks familiar.
Little fing action.
That looks familiar.
Problem is now you can't bring the guy in motion to block people now. There's no toss 38 boss anymore.
Yeah, there were a lot of things that look familiar. You know, people laugh when, you know, when we first put the offense in back when Zoe was playing, which was 100 years ago.
Yeah.
It
was. I remember the meetings even with Dan Eddy when we were down with the Jets. But we're still designing stuff.
When we first put the offense in, I mean, I think that either one of us could walk into a meeting now and at least know at least 75% of what they're doing.
Yeah, you get the zero. You know, slot.
Well, I mean, I still watch the same slot. I watch signals, and you know, for example, we put in a protection for empty protection. I'm sitting there listening to go Linda and Rita. We put that in.
I know. I'll laugh sometimes when you hear the call. You know.
So I sit there and say, "What does that mean?" I say, "Well, you just change protection to the right."
Easy. You get the easy calls. Yeah. You look at somebody.
How about this one? Alert. Alert, people. What's he doing? He's changing
the freaking play.
No. That's not what he's doing.
That's what they think.
There's one play or another play. Yeah. That's the way the play's put in. He's not audibling on the play.
Yeah.
He's just going to a better play. That's, you know, it's part of the play call.
So he still does a lot of the check with me stuff you're saying.
Yeah, you know, I mean, watch the alerts. Yeah. Anytime you see him going alert, yeah. It's the same alert he was doing 100 years ago, when he was first playing,
yeah, it's got to. I mean, let's get the coach.
It's cool to watch. It's cool to watch.
Yeah, it is though. It is. I mean, you put all this stuff in. It was you.
Yeah, but
Earhart, Henning, and Josh, and Billy.
But it's not about. It's not that it's about you. It's watching. It's always fun to watch a game and be able to identify things that are happening. Now, obviously, Josh is a great designer and play caller and has taken it and spread it out,
right,
and got more dynamic and a lot of other things, you know, and as Josh has grown, obviously he was able to grow because Tommy was able to grow. It was kind of an in sync type of deal, because when you have a quarterback that can handle so much, you can do it.
I'm curious to know what you make of the trend in the league now and Sean McVay being in this game this week. There's such a big deal made out of Sean McVay, and now teams
guys trying to, jobs if you
guys
if you're tied
trying
shoes.
To hire anyone that's ever met Sean McVay
hold
as their
on.
Head coach. What?
Hold on. I have a son who's 25. I'm all for it. I have a son who's an offensive coordinator.
Has he met Sean McVay?
That's not the point.
Has he touched him?
That's
because
not,
he might be worth the hire.
Yeah,
now.
But that's not the point. Yeah. The point is that he's considered in that next group. Not the 30-year-old group.
Right.
Yeah.
Because there's no one else in the group that he's in.
The next wave.
But in the 90s, you had to have 20 years in, man.
As Zoe will tell you, he's already his name's already put out there in that group right there. So 3 or 4 years from now.
Which is so different from when you were coming up and Bill was coming up.
You had to pay
your dues.
You had to hold cards. You had to get Gatorade.
Hey, yeah. I was 45, 46 when I got a head coaching job, and you know, I started as quality control, and you know, you work your way, you go from one position to the next position to the next position, then you have to change sites a couple times because head coaches changes, not usually because you get fired, but because they leave,
right,
and you know, new staffs come in. It's just part of what you know. So I think that probably the best move that Sean McVay did, besides being a bright offensive mind, hiring a veteran defensive guy and saying, that's your deal. I'll let you do your deal. If it's a critical thing that I have to interject, I will. But other than that, I will not step on your toes. Go do your deal. That allowed him to be the offensive coordinator, which is what he is.
Yeah.
I mean, these guys that are offensive coordinators for him, they're getting him jobs. They don't call plays. You know, they don't even call plays. I mean, they're getting jobs without even calling plays. You know how hard it is to all of a sudden just, okay, you're calling plays now? It's easier said than done.
Are you surprised about the 15-second cutoff where he talks to Goff? And we talked about this last week. I think sometimes it can impede the growth of the quarterback because you don't let him get out there and let him absorb and look and let him make decisions, or you're basically holding his hand until 15 seconds and it gets cut off.
I think that having that as a resource only when you know how quickly I used to call plays.
Boom.
So I used to call them quick so they could get to the line of scrimmage quick. Then you, if you had a 3 or 4 second window, like if you're in the red zone, no sacks. You know, like
that
you just say like two words. It wouldn't be like, you know, hey, say alert blitz, or you know, you just say a couple of words just as a reminder, but it wouldn't be a continued conversation that would take place.
Talking with Charlie Weiss, former Patriots offensive coordinator. Who do you like in this game?
Oh, I think it's Pats, and I think it's Pats big. You know, I really do.
There's a different confidence.
I think it's going to be one of two things. I'm gonna tell you what I think, and then give you the devil's advocate. Okay, I just think that the Pats, they always have a chip on their shoulder. Even when they're a 2-touchdown favorite, they're coming in to make an act like they're the underdog. Okay, I think that that game against the Chiefs, even though they very easily could have lost that game, you know, they pretty much dominated a good portion of the game. It's just that that quarterback is something special for that Chiefs team.
And
15, 20 years from now, you might be talking them in that same light like we're talking about number 12 right now. You know,
I haven't seen a kid, you know, calling games like you watch kids on TV, you know they can play until you get there. You see it in person. You see the way he could drive the ball 40, 45 yards. It's, I haven't seen it since a guy like Elway. I really haven't.
This guy is that. If you had to put it, he's the next guy. He's the next guy, you know. So that, but that being said, you know, I'm watching the send off and Zoe with his sunglasses on, and I liked Tommy's, we're still here, I kind of like that, like shove it to everyone else. I kind of like it, and I think that they're going to try to pounce on him. That being said, okay. If they can stop the run, if the Rams can stop the run and turn it into a one-dimensional game, now you say that plays right into the Patriots' strength, which is true, that Tommy is their strength, but if they can make it a one-dimensional game, I think they'll have a chance. I just don't know if they can do that. The last couple weeks, for their run defense has showed up. So if the run defense,
because it takes effort, and they weren't exactly given that effort.
Well, I'm saying if they could stone Sony Michel and James White, if they could stone those guys, and just say, well, you're just going to have to throw it on every down, I think that we could see a game. But
and the ability of that day, and you know how long the day is, and how the game.
I was just talking about it.
It's a different game. It's a different game. Can the Rams get
game within a game?
You know, your emotions sometimes. You know, they overtake you like for the first quarter, and then Aikman's talked about this. I'm exhausted by halfway through the second. We even get to halftime, and then halftime's 25 minutes, which is double the normal time.
Let's talk about it. I'll tell you real quickly, like about halftime. You have to totally change how you do halftime as a coaching staff. We wouldn't talk to them for 10 minutes.
Okay.
10 minutes. We wouldn't even talk to them for 10 minutes.
During Super Bowl halftime.
Let them deal with their stuff.
We wouldn't even talk to them
Let them hit the head.
You could try and mimic what a normal halftime routine would be. To do that,
we get it on the second, on the downside right there, where instead of having 2 minutes to talk to them, you'd get it where you had 5 minutes to talk to them, you know.
Yeah.
But you'd give them plenty of time to not only go to the bathroom, get into the training room, you know, relax, eat a couple oranges or whatever they ate right there. So by the time you got them, okay, you had chances as a coaching staff to really think about, you know, I used to write openers for the second half because you had enough time to do that. Now, you might not write 15 to 20, but you might write 10.
Right.
You know, so we're going to come out, and then you could present them to them. So now it's like you're starting the game again.
It's reset.
You know, you could sit there and say, here's what we got right there.
We've talked about that against Atlanta, like the and what you were saying, Zoe, like how players who have been there before and they realize you got to pace yourself. It's a long day. You can't spend it all in the first half, and how much that factored in at the Super Bowl in Houston as to whether or not the Patriots were a little more prepared for the length of the game toward the end.
And it still comes down to a couple of decisions and or plays that happened in the game. I mean, and let's talk about the last four Super Bowls, the two that you won. Let's start with that. I mean, If they hand the ball off, you probably lose.
Right.
Okay, in the first one, in the second one, if the offensive coordinator calls three runs and they kick a field goal, okay, you probably lose. Okay, so now conversely, the two that you did lose, okay, the two you did lose, it comes down to a play where a guy pins the ball on his helmet,
yeah,
and a throw up the sideline that. If he had to throw it 50 times, he might complete it once.
Right.
You know, cover two, up the sideline.
I was five yards from it. The ball was caught.
I mean, it's going to be
over the way.
One out of 50.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you threw it 50 times, you're going to complete it. Now, it was a perfect throw and a catch. And that was, to me, that was the critical play of the game. You know, so, I mean, and then you look at last year's game. It really came down to a strip sack.
Yeah.
I mean, not a
They weren't going to stop.
That was it. Oh, well, they were going down to score.
Sure, they were.
This wasn't a question of whether the Patriots were going to score.
That sucks.
You know, there was no doubt they were going down to score. Okay, but that play ended the game.
Yep. A couple quick ones for you. We heard your name come up in rumors a couple weeks ago around the league. Do you still want to coach, or are you done?
Yeah, I had a couple opportunities. I had a couple offers this year, but nothing that I would do. It had, as I said. You know, as I said, it would have to be in the right situation, you know, in the right situation. And it wouldn't necessarily have to be as the offensive coordinator. But if you're going to go towards the end of the career, you want to go somewhere where you think that while you're there, let's say you're going to be there 2 or 3 years, you got a chance to win.
Yeah.
So who wants to go somewhere where you don't have a chance to win? You know, you don't just go there because somebody offers you money to go. And then sometimes I just don't think I was a good fit. They offer you a job, but you're not a good fit. So you just don't do it. I mean, you don't fit everywhere, you know. And I think at this stage of my career, you know what would have been a perfect type of thing to do? A young defensive head coach going and hiring.
Sort of the reverse of the
Rams. You know, doing just the opposite, saying, okay, I'm going to go with that guy. And then I'm not going to worry about the offense. And if he had a young guy that he'd like to be the guy, then okay, tell me to groom that guy so that by the time I leave, he's ready to go.
Patricia.
I mean, this came up because Josh, you know, rumored again to possibly be leaving. And a big conversation was, who will Tom Brady listen to if he has to get a new offensive coordinator if Josh leaves? And who would that guy be? And that's why your name came back to New England.
I will tell you this, and I'm glad Josh is still there. Okay, so that being said, you know, if that would have happened and Bill would have called, I would have been there. You know, because I feel that way about the Patriots organization. I feel that way about the Patriots fans. And I feel that way about Belichick and number 12. You know, so in that situation, I would have said yes. But you know, they're better off. You know, with Josh still being there, and he's been there for a whole bunch of years, and they got a good chemistry together. But that would have been a situation. Now I don't know if Bill would have done that or gone with one of his assistants. You know, which has usually been his MO to promote from within. That's normally been his deal. So, but right now it's subjective and rhetorical anyway. So really, you know,
do you keep in touch with all these guys, Bill, Tom?
Yep, Bill, I do. Tom, I do. You know, remember there was no other players that were there when I was there. That was it.
That's right. That's crazy.
You're talking about all the players, Tom.
Yeah. The rest of them are down here covering it. Harrison, it's Brewski. Brewski's coming. He's running a damn marathon again, so he's a wacko training 13 miles a day. It's insane.
Yep, so it's been a lot of fun. Hey, I feel confident in the Patriots this week. I feel more confident this week than I did last week, to tell you the truth.
Wow.
You know, I do. I feel more confident against the Rams than I did against the Chiefs. Right. You know, I thought that score was going to be 100-99, and I also thought that the scoring was going to be in the second half. So, you know, it basically turned out that way because even these fast-starting teams, usually in these big games, you don't see a whole bunch of points scored early.
Yeah.
But usually you get a whole bunch of points scored late.
Charlie Weiss, pleasure to have you on.
Yeah, we appreciate
Thanks for stopping by. We really appreciate it.
It's always good seeing you, man.
All right, take care. Right,
Charlie Weiss in our Big Y World-Class Market Guest Chair here on Zolak and Bertrand. We have more from Radio Row coming up next.
Live on Radio Row at the Georgia World. World Congress Center. Zolak and Bertrand, presented by DCU, Digital Federal Credit Union, on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
We love you. We love you, man. Hey, I appreciate the support. We're going to go out here and kick their ass, baby. Hey.
Fellas, fellas, what's up? What's going on? Hey, hold on. Hold on. Hey, hey, Chung, we heard you talking that talk, you know, back there in Foxborough. You know, 700 hunters, let's get straight to it.
Welcome back to Zolak and Bertrand, Radio Row in Atlanta. Okay?
Yeah, it's, I went to move what I thought was a crumpled up piece of paper. It's like this nasty apple core wrapped in a piece of paper.
Gross. This hour of Zolak and Bertrand brought to you by Spiegel Scrap Metal. You're on Radio Row in Atlanta. Our thanks again to Charlie Weiss for joining us here on the show.
Good,
that
man.
Was fun.
Good stuff.
Somebody tweeted us while he was on here saying that he would make a four-figure donation to whatever Charlie Weiss Foundation exists to be able to sit down and watch a game with him. That would be pretty cool. Just because, you know, like he said, it's cool to know what's happening in the game and what's going to happen, but if you sit there and watch a game with someone like that, you watch it completely different.
And you know, it's his offense. He's part of the architect of that offense when he installed it. So, yeah.
Yeah, so he watches these games going, I put that in.
Yeah.
That's my play. That's my
wrinkle.
Thing.
That's a good question for Jim Louth, who has often said if he won the lottery, he would spend the most money on being able to be in the Patriots war room
on draft day.
How much would you pay? Yeah, lottery. This is lottery money. As the robotic camera turns around
Jim's
to look at Jim.
Jim's just excited his shower has tile. He's excited his shower has tile.
Yeah.
How much would you pay? And again, you've got lottery winnings.
I don't know,
now.
But I've watched the game with Zoe before. It can't be that much better than watching the game with Zoe.
Yeah,
kind of seeing everything the way it is. I guess it's from a different perspective with the play caller and like the coaching aspect of it.
How much, Jim?
I don't know, not that much. I got the Zoe experience.
$1,000.
The draft.
$1,000 grand.
The war room.
I mean, not
right?
even close
the
to the war room. Not even close.
Right. Yeah. Not even close. Yeah. If you hit the lottery, you got to pay big bucks for the war
right.
room. But our thanks again to him. You heard this clip, Patrick Chung talking about going and kicking the Rams' ass. And then you heard Brandon Cooks respond. Can someone tell me what it is that Brandon Cooks is saying at the end of that clip?
Get out the 100.
What is that?
Fellas, what's going on? Hey, hold on. Hey, Chung, we heard you talking that talk, you know, back there in Foxborough. You know, 700 hunters, let's get straight to it.
Someone's got a kid.
700 hunted.
Tell us what that means.
That's what I heard, Zoe.
Because we don't know what that
700
means.
700 hunted.
You know, 700 hundreds, let's get straight to it.
700 hundreds. Let's get straight. Let's get paid.
Is that a wager? Is he wagering?
Is that
how many fans were there at the rally? 700?
Is that the
70,000. Yeah,
nice,
700 hundreds.
Nice sweatsuits.
You know, 700 hundreds, let's get straight to it.
What's that mean?
700 hundreds.
Someone help us. Help us understand what the
help
hell
these
that
white
means.
Nerds.
Hold on, I'm gonna Google.
Darks.
I'm gonna Google it. 700
hundreds.
Hundreds.
We're a bunch of tool bags. We don't know what that means.
It's okay.
Help us out. But there's a little something there. I thought that comment from Pat Chung very unpatriot-like. Yeah. Very unpatriot-like. We're going there to kick their ass.
I think they got so juicy in the crowd and getting up on stage.
Yeah, they let it out a little bit.
It came out. Freaking ready, man. Let's go beat their ass.
By the way, there's stuff coming from the other side.
Relax.
There are players talking about what?
I Googled it, and it's T. Grizzly. It's a song lyric from T. Grizzly.
What does it mean, though?
T-E-E.
Great.
Grizzly.
But what does it mean? What's the message there?
I don't know. Jim's going to look up the words.
That's
the
next
song.
Step. Go now right. that we know what it is.
A slap your face with my hand.
I need to know what all that means.
Whip my hand.
I found that 700 is a Wikipedia entry. It's a natural number following 699 and preceding 701.
Every number has a Wikipedia entry? Is that for real?
Apparently.
Oh, okay.
Jesus.
It's the sum of four consecutive primes.
Who knew?
167, 173, 179, 181.
Wow. Excellent news. So that's what we got to know. There's a little back and forth developing. You've got some players on the other side starting to talk about things, and I think the Rams could slip up this week and start handing out bulletin board material, but Patrick Chung certainly gave them a little piece. Small piece, but it's only Monday. A lot of time left before this game. A lot of time left before we get to Sunday. So anything could happen between now and then. These guys have availability now through Thursday.
Oh.
Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. They all talk every day.
Mm.
So get used to it.
We can't read many of the lyrics from that song.
Well, that's okay.
I'll read them.
It does say Atlanta, though, right after it.
Oh, hot in okay. Maybe it's I'll see you in Atlanta.
Hey.
As soon as they touch Atlanta, get with boat, secure the bag, bleep, bleep, bleep.
Bleep that, bleep. I saying?
You know what I saying?
617-779.
It's really going to turn into the 40-year-old version.
Let's go to Chad.
Don't be talking to my... It's like I say that.
Hey, what's up, guys? I think it's so important, like Charlie said, for them to pounce on them early first because the offense, I don't think they can do what they did at Atlanta. You want to run the running game, the play action, because, see, you don't want to give St. Louis any confidence. I don't want them teeing off because you know the blueprint for Brady's up the middle. And you got Sue and you got Fowler on the outside and you got the best defensive player in football, I think, in Donald. And if you give Goff any confidence, I think the Rams got a chance, which is scary.
Yeah, I don't know about scoring first, but let's put it this way. You don't want to be playing from behind. You want to play with a lead. But the Rams score on their first drive, and it's 7-0. That doesn't mean anything. Come right back and score, and you've got a tie ball game, and it's not a big deal. It's about playing with a lead, though. That I think, is the way I would phrase that.
Even 7-0 against the Chiefs, and then you think you're going to...
Trust me, it helps, but don't tell me that if they don't score first, that they have to score first in the game.
But
you want to play from out front, though.
Of course. I mean, in every game, in every situation, but against, you know, a talented offense, even more so. I don't know. It's been a while since the Patriots had to go up against what you really thought of was like a world-beating defense, and that was how they're going to beat you. So
this isn't a world-beating defense.
No.
They're decent. Good.
There's a couple of scary guys
up front.
Yes, and a sociopathic player up front to go with the special player up front. So yeah, it makes you nervous, but overall as a defense doesn't scare you as much as just those. That one guy does, and the guy playing next to him.
Mark in Medford. Mark, go ahead.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey,
Mark. So yesterday was the NFL Pro Bowl, the best of the best. Well, it looked like the freaking toilet bowl with the turds that were playing in it. I was watching it going down the toilet, just watching it circle. That was a disgrace yesterday. Not only did the NFC... took them almost four quarters to score a freaking...
Oh, no, we're not doing that. We're not breaking down the game, Mark.
I could care less about the Pro Bowl. I didn't watch one second of it.
So you watched it?
I don't even know who was in it.
No.
I really don't.
It doesn't... Like, he's saying this was somehow, like, an especially bad... What? They're all the same.
Don't laugh.
No matter what happens on the field.
Don't laugh.
All the same.
Ratings will come out today. You'll get the ratings from that.
Stink.
It probably did a decent number.
They all stink.
Yeah, but they had offensive guys playing defense, defensive guys playing offense.
Joke.
At least they changed it up a little bit tonight, but it was pouring rain.
No, we're going to sit here and talk about how the game played out. Nope, not doing that. It's Super Bowl week in Atlanta. 617-779-0985 is the telephone number. In just a little bit, we're going to talk about Bill Belichick and Sean McVay and a relationship that they have that we didn't really know about. We'll get to that coming up.
It's Zolak and Bertrand live on Radio Row, presented by DCU, Digital Federal Credit Union, on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
I'm running out of socks, talk about it, really be on don't see just up wide in France, paint a face like Picasso, I iced out my vatos, I'm really on big beamer, big bands in my bitch neck, don't play around on my phone, give me watch on my wrist, out of date, but it's Rolex, Grizzly up next, I'm up now, stop your bullet, that's fine.
700, let's get straight. I mean, it could be going to help us.
It could be a Rams song. You're like, Patriots adopted Rick Ross.
Someone needs to help us with this.
I think it might be a Rams song. Like their deal. That's all. To get there straight, get the 700, get the ATL.
Sometimes you just get a song stuck in your head, though. Like that Panda song stayed with me for like months, and just every time I would get excited, I would just start spitting lyrics from it.
Yeah.
You know? I got bras in Atlanta.
Hey.
Black
Jim,
and Six.
Isn't Diddy,
Atlanta,
isn't
why
Diddy
does it
from
look
Atlanta?
Like a panda? Going out like a Montana.
Paperboy. I mean, Paperboy. Aren't they from Atlanta?
I have no idea.
Check that out.
Paperboy's from Atlanta?
Oh, man.
You know, 700 hunters, let's get straight to it.
Okay.
Where's Skilo from?
Wait, isn't Paperboy?
Is he curved? Is he trying to get
in the show, Atlanta?
I don't know.
Man. 617-779-0985.
See, this is stuff Felger and Mass can never handle.
Oh, but we're handling it like pros.
No, but at least try to talk it through.
So no,
Paperboy, San Diego. Mitchell Charles Johnson from San Diego.
Yeah, no, but in the show Atlanta, the rapper's name, Donald Glover, the character he plays in the show, who is Earn, it's his cousin, who's a rapper, and his name's Paperboy in the show. Yeah.
Do the ditty witty.
Anyway. 617-779-0985. Nick in Weymouth today on the Patriots. What do you got, Nick?
Hey, how you doing? Question on Trey Brown. And he does this very often.
Trent Brown?
Why does he... excuse me?
You were talking about Trent Brown, right?
Yeah, I thought his name was Trey. I'm sorry. The offensive tackle. Left tackle.
Trent Brown.
Why is it that very often he lines up so far back, there's no way he's lined up next to the guard on the line of scrimmage? How does he get away with that? Is it legal to do that, or is it something the referees are letting slide?
That's a good question.
The reason I say that is that's a big disadvantage to the defense.
Well, all tackles do it. It's that two-point stance where I know what you're talking about, where it takes that left foot all the way back.
Yeah. Well,
is that right foot's next to the guard or slightly behind it, they'll let it go. But, I mean, if you're a step off it or foot off the foot of the guard, they'll call it.
Was that a Rams fan, do you think, calling to ask about that, trying to raise that issue week of the game? A Patriots fan that calls about an offensive lineman and they want to talk about the left tackle, would know Trent Brown's name.
Speaking of that, have you seen the snapshot?
I think
we've
got a Rams fan that infiltrated us.
Did you see D Ford line up in the Pro Bowl? Speaking of Pro Bowl, he was actually more offsides than he was last week. It's crazy.
I said I was offsides. Was I?
Unbelievable.
Put that on a T-shirt this week. Kyle's in Boston. Hi, Kyle.
Hey, what's going on? I got two quick things. One is kind of weird, but the other one, I have a quick question about Sony Michel. Why don't they throw to him? Why can't they get him in the passing game?
They can, but they haven't done a lot. They did it in the Kansas City game, though. They made it a point.
Yeah. They should do it a little bit more because every time he's in there, they're just running the ball with him. I mean, like, every time he's out there, I'm like, they're either going to just throw it to somebody else or they're going to run it with him.
It's a wrinkle. It's a wrinkle that they might use. Can they do it? Yes. But I think part of it comes down to who do you want catching the football, him or James White? I think you want to use the best possible personnel for those plays. That's how I sort of look at it. You can use it as a wrinkle. You can use it because it might catch someone off guard. But when you're throwing to the backs, I want them throwing to James White.
Yeah. I'm fine with them getting the ball to James White in as many ways as possible.
Absolutely.
Targets, runs, whatever you need.
Tom and Drake it today. What's up, Tom?
Hi, guys. How you doing? I want to mention this. I think we're so spoiled as a Patriots. Are you still there?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I think we're so spoiled as Patriots fans because we were going on our sixth Super Bowl win. But I think of the days when I was in high school and college during the Billy Sullivan era where you were wondering and wondering if there was going to be any game on a Sunday because of blackouts. So I just want you to think about, you know, where we've come from, and sometimes we forget how bad it was back then.
You know, Tom, I don't think people do forget. I think there are plenty of people that remember exactly how it was when there were Sundays at home when you would not get the Patriots game on television because they couldn't sell the place out. I don't think people forget that. I don't think people, you know, if you were alive during it, I don't think you forget it. I think people remember it. And I think everyone recognizes that what is happening right now is truly remarkable. It is not supposed to happen. The league is not supposed to have this happen. And it has.
Right. It's amazing.
It really is. So described it best. America's worst nightmare.
Yeah.
Back again.
And you think they're done, you think it's over, and it's like they retool. And they get different year to year. That's the amazing thing. And sitting there talking with Charlie, like, the way it's evolved. You know, this is not an offense that you look at and where the Rams could go back to week 4, 5, and 6 and look at any film and say, this is what we're up against. Like, what do you look at? Do you look at the tape of Buffalo where they ran at 273 or where they threw it against the Jets or how they mixed their drive in last week? What do you look at? Or the Chargers. They scored 35 points first half against the Chargers. What tape are you going to look at and say, this is what they do? their ability to switch on the fly. And I said this last week, the team that adjusts mid-game, in between series, is going to win that football game, who adjusts the best. And I just think the Patriots did it. And it's almost okay. Like you can't win games the way – you can't win every single game the way the Chiefs do, where they just try and outscore people and go. Like, what hurt them was scoring so quickly. Like, coming out in that second half, boom, four plays and they're in.
Do you remember being at home and not being on TV?
What?
Do you remember being at home and not being on TV when you first came into the league?
Yes. Yeah. Blackout. Yeah. Remember that? Why?
That's what the guy was calling about.
Oh.
And how now it's different.
Oh, okay. I didn't hear the question. I'm trying to juggle some stuff here.
It's okay.
It's okay.
Yeah.
It's all right.
I'm just like, where? These are all great points.
I should save that for Thursday. We could retool that. We could replay that later.
Slow down. I just want you to slow down. I don't want you to have another Kansas City week. You got
up against it.
You had a million thoughts in the first 2 days.
Oh, man. Like,
so,
right up.
You got to slow down, Zoe.
Yeah.
You got to slow down. Pace yourself.
Yeah.
Pace yourself. I know you're excited. Yeah. Zoe's excited.
I'm excited.
He's freaking thrilled to be here again, as we all are.
Yeah.
Nothing better than this.
Nothing
better than being here with the Patriots here.
Sure.
Blackouts. Not on TV.
Yeah.
2-14. All that stuff.
Sure. Had to buy my dad had to buy a satellite. He had the coordinates.
Big giant
and,
one.
I'm talking to the team. Which what are the satellite coordinates? Latitude, longitude. You have to plugging all this in. Transponder 4, network 321. I'm like, Dad, put the numbers in. I tried them. It's not working. And he's out there trying to move the satellite. Satellite stuck. Yeah, that's what you do. That's what you do when you're bad.
Yeah. Couldn't get on TV. They've come a long way.
Right ascension, 42 degrees.
And Charlie Weiss talked about it earlier, saying that he was with the Patriots when James Orthwein was the owner of the team.
Right.
So he lived that, too.
Sure
he lived
did.
The bad days. He lived the old stadium. He lived all of that. Yeah. I think that the guys like that who call, they don't want anyone else to forget it. They want the younger crew to understand what the hell it was. Right? I think that's what it is.
Sure.
I think that's why people feel the way that caller feels. Like, yeah, I want make sure you mention this so people know how good they've got it now. And it's sort of like a knock on the younger fans of, you guys have no idea. Right? I mean, I think that's part of it, too.
Absolutely.
Which is fine. You have every right to say that.
Right.
You have every right to tell, you know, the 20-year-olds, 25-year-olds, you don't have a clue. Right? That's what I think part of that is.
Live on Radio Row at the Georgia World Congress Center. Zolak and Bertrand, presented by DCU, Digital Federal Credit Union, on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Caller 10 right now to the Pride Motor Group contest line, 617-931-0985. We'll score a $100 Visa gift card courtesy of Digital Federal Credit Union. Take control of your student loan payments by refinancing with DCU.
Yeah.
Learn more at DCU.org. And thank you to Digital Federal Credit Union for presenting our show, our presenting sponsor all week long here on Radio Row on Zolak and Bertrand. We'll give away a $100 gift card every single day this week on the show. We'll do it at 10:50 every day outside of today. We got backed up a little bit with guests. So 10:50 the rest of the week, we'll be giving away a $100 gift card. If you're caller 10 right now, contest line only, 617-931-0985, you will be our first winner of the week. Let's jump back to a couple of calls. I also want to let you know that Josh the intern has tried to give us a explanation of the 700-100 thing, the back and forth.
Which intern? Which intern's he?
Intern Josh.
The hair guy or the road trip?
Hair guy.
Hair guy.
Jorge.
Jorge. Thank you.
He writes, T is on a mission to get money, because the song's by T Grizzly.
Right.
His various bill denominations add up to $107,000 in cash. The term band, slang for $1,000, is derived from the rubber bands used to store the money. I know what the bands are all about. I mean, we went through that whole
maybe,
thing with Gronkowski.
You know what?
Bands that make her dance.
Maybe winner share.
$1,000 at her. I mean,
$107,000.
I mean, what does that mean? Why would he say that to another player? What does that mean?
Because we're going to win to get the full share.
I keep a souvenir in my bag with me at all times for one of my Vegas trips.
At least it's not a baseball.
Now,
it's a money band.
What's that band for?
Thousands.
Hundreds. Which is a total of $10,000.
Thank you. Thank you. Now that's
that means you had a $10,000 in your hand?
It's dated and everything.
Yeah.
How did
like
you not run home? Yeah. You went back and spent it all, didn't you?
You know what? I found a bank. I found a branch of the bank where I bank, and I immediately went there and gave them most of it and said, here, take this, put this away, and I will, you know, keep a little with me to play with. And I kept the band. I kept the band.
$7,000?
Six.
Yeah. I knew it.
I played with four. It's
normal
still most.
Put nine away. Take 1,000 for you. I'll keep 4,000.
All right, you got 60-40 on the winnings. 617-779-0985. The relationship of Bill Belichick and Sean McVay. We'll get to that after headlines with Hardy. But first, a couple of calls. John in Groveland up next on Zolak and Bertrand. Hi, John.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Yeah.
Hey, I just want to thank you guys. Yeah, just listening to you guys. It's a long night to listen to you guys in Felder and Mass. But
nice. We enjoy it more. You know, we're appreciative, and we like being here.
Yeah, I'm glad.
Hey, you know what we're going to do? We're going to do football stuff because it's Super Bowl week. We're not just going to do our thing.
That's right. You do it all.
Right.
But, hey, listen, this is what I'm thinking. You know how Chung got caught saying what he said about you got to kick their ass? But I think that was like all scripted. If Belichick wanted to show how fast that they're going to say, watch what happens when you say something stupid. And then they're going to use it all.
Nope, not scripted. We had stuff.
Disagree with that,
John. Bob and I alternated with guys, and it was just pretty simple setup. Team up on something quick. And I'm telling you, the amount of people there in that environment and how crazy it was at a freaking rally, I'm not a player. I got excited for it. They're playing in the game.
They got caught up in it, man,
and it's hard not to. And he's up there. He's like, I can take my phone out. He didn't have his phone ready, and he's trying to film it. Like, look at this. Let's get a chant going, you know. And then, it just came out. It wasn't just like you were going to beat their ass back. You know, hey, if you don't think you're going to win this football game, stay home. Don't get on the plane. I mean, both sides think they're going to win it. It's a big freaking
deal. But it's different from saying, hey, we're going there to win it. Versus,
I guarantee
we're going to kick your ass. Like it goes from being, of course you're going there to win it, to, all right, now you're talking trash, huh? Must be really feeling it. There's a line there somewhere.
Sure.
Saying you're to kick another team's ass is on the other side of the line. Kevin's in L.A. Kevin.
What's up, Kev?
Hey, guys. Long time no see. As the unofficial L.A. correspondent for your show, let me tell you something. That guy was not a plant who was calling in as a Rams fan, because there pretty much are no Rams fans here. This is a whole different vibe than it was when it was Red Sox and Doyers. The L.A. fans, the Rams fans, they died out. They're either over 65 or under 14. When they left, people stopped caring. There are probably more Kings fans in this town than there are Rams fans. There are definitely more Cowboys, Raiders, and Steelers fans than there are Rams fans. But that having been said, there's about 100 times more Rams fans than there are Charger fans. The odds of that guy being a plant, non-existent. There is no Super Bowl fever in this town.
He definitely is not a Patriots fan. He called to complain about Trent Brown.
Trey.
Who we call Trey Brown, not lining up on the line of scrimmage.
You like that D-Ford thing I showed you?
Oh, my God. It's unbelievable.
He was two more feet offside than he was last week. He was in the backfield.
Right.
I mean, stupid.
Yeah.
So, no wonder he is sacked.
He definitely is not a Patriots fan. That's all I know. Maybe something else, but he's not a Pats fan. 617-779-0985.
Who's this freak coming here with the jacket?
There is a bond between Bill Belichick and Sean McVay. We touched on this on Friday in that, McVay is in the spot that Belichick was in when he became a head coach, being a younger head coach, being a guy that was viewed as, you know, the next up-and-coming sort of guy. Belichick had that on the defensive side. McVay's got that on the offensive side. What's their relationship? We learned something new about that today. We'll tell you what it is in 90 seconds.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.